Thank you, Lord. It's good to see you. I hope you're glad to be here. I'm glad to see you made it through another week. We're on that road. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Whatever lies behind, whatever lies before me. Hallelujah. He's there. Today we want to just take a little bit of a break from the two videos that we have watched thus far from Stephen Furtick and anxiety when anxiety attacks. The first video we had was, anxiety, when it attacks, what happens. And then the second one had to do with there's nothing here to see. Thank you, Father. Were you able to find that online, Linda? Yeah. And I sent you a link a few days later just to make sure because it's crazy things, but it's awesome, the message that he is sharing with us. Today, what I want to do is just maybe look at a couple of the things that sparked interest in me, and I'm probably in you, but I think it is important to know that we all deal with anxiety. And we'll find here another word that you'll find in the Bible of anxiety will be placed with anxious. We're anxious. We have anxiety. And why is that? It's because if we don't have our thoughts in the right place, if we don't have our trust in the right person, we will go through this life with anxiety. We will go through this life with a lot of anxiousness, right? Because we don't know. It's the fear of the unknown. What's going to happen? We hear things like, I'm just waiting for the other hammer to drop. Or I'm just waiting for this shoe to drop. What's that mean? We're waiting for something bad, really. Because we think and we go through life that it's bad stuff. And it is out there bad stuff. But we, I believe, as kingdom kids, as followers of Christ, as Christians, as His, whatever we want to call ourselves, you call yourself whatever. But if we're following Him and He is ours and He knows the beginning to the end and we trust Him, then why is there anxiety and anxiousness in us? But that happens. That's just who we are. We're man, we're women, we're made with emotions, aren't we? And when things don't really add up, when things don't come very clear to us, we know very much so in life, there's not a lot of clarity in life. When we begin our walk, right? When we get out of the house and we've graduated and we've gone on to create our own families and our own charted course of where we're going, there's a lot of unknowns, isn't there? A lot of unanswered questions. And it sure helps if you had everything from the beginning to the end answered for you so you know, I don't have to worry. It's all taken care of. But we all come, myself included, we come into pockets of time in our lives, in our walk, that maybe we do worry. And some people worry differently than others. Some people say, well, I don't worry. But I think down deep, if you would ask them, and if they really reflected back on 20 years, 25 or 30 years of their life, there's probably been some times in their life that they were worrying or they had apprehension. Like, I just don't know. I don't know how this is going to turn out. And so through these series of videos, as we looked at this, we find out that anxiety, and I began to, when we went into this a few months back, preparing for this, just felt so much of it within the church ourselves. I hope ourselves as Christians, I hope us as a church can work through the anxiety. Because as I look out there, probably several people out there right now have some anxiety within their life. And it happens, okay? It's not to say you're a loser. It's not to say, I think one time I think at a Tuesday night thing, I put a, talking about something, it's like I felt like this, like I'm just such a loser, It's just like things that take place in life. Anxiety. Anxiety is an uneasy feeling of uncertainty. Agitation. Dread. Fear. All of those things are in there, and anxiety. In scriptures, you will find the word anxious is being used as well. We have freedom from anxiety by confessing that it is not part of God's will for us. God does not will for us to be anxious. Doesn't he say, be anxious for nothing? Believe in Him. Trust in Him. He's there. In Proverbs 12:25 is where we find that anxiety in the heart of man causes what? Depression. But a good word makes it glad. See, we have a lot of people, and this is just church people. The world is out there and the world has its issues, and we know that. But what about the church people? What about God's people? We even have depression in our churches. That's part of anxiety. Anxiety in the heart of man causes depression. But a good word makes it glad. We can bring some good word to that for sure, but I think we need to realize and understand that really the good word is God's word. Amen? He is the word. He is the living. He is where we get our source of all direction, all strength, all whatever it is that we glean it from Him. Philippians 4:6 says, "Be anxious for nothing." Be anxious for nothing. That's impossible. But it must be possible if it's in God's Word, right? God's Word says, be anxious for nothing. But I am anxious, God. Well, God would say, well, don't be anxious. Well, how can that be, God? Trust in me. Oh, really? Yes. You mean if I trust in you, God, and look to you for the helps, look to the Lamb of God, that I won't deal with anxiousness and anxiety? You'd probably say, yeah, really. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses what? All understanding, will guard what? See, we've got to guard our hearts and guard our minds, because the enemy will come in and he'll start messing around with what? Your mind. And with your heart. He will begin to put thoughts into your thoughts of your brain that aren't yours, they're his. Or if you've got things in your thoughts that you're thinking about, the devil has a way to turn it around and make it sound more negative, more disastrous, more it's not going to be attainable, more of a failure, more of it's you're not going to gain this, that you're going to lose this. The devil will put those in there. But here God's Word says that if we would just be anxious for nothing, but in everything in prayer and supplication, thanksgiving, and that peace of God which will surpass all of our understanding. See, we think that we try to guard our own heart and our own mind. But it says this, that the peace of God will guard your heart and minds. Through who? Through who? Christ Jesus. Talks about that anxiety and pride, why you have anxiety, why you have pride, and all that is tied together. The central focus of anxiety is I, the middle letter. Pride, the middle letter in pride is I. We begin to, and I have caught myself many times, have you? When I go through a problem, I tried this. I've come to you, God. I've turned it over to you. I keep having to do this. I've done that. I. And this is what Stephen did on that video. I. And it's like we've got to get ourselves away from the I and get to Him and turn it over to Him. But it's through Christ Jesus. From this first video, we learned that if we are under attack, you need to humble yourself and place yourself where? Under the mighty hand of God. See, we don't want to be placed under the mighty hand of God, because then that kind of gives whoever's got the upper hand, seems like they've got the authority, you know? They've got the ability. But in God's Word, to get through what we're going through, it's telling us we've got to place ourselves under that hand of humble yourself, pride, get rid of that pride, be humble, realize, yes, you cannot do it on your own. Yes, realize if you try to do it on your own, it'll probably fail. Not that you're a failure, but your actions will fail because you're doing it on your own. We've got to get to that point through Christ Jesus. Amen. Humble ourselves under that mighty hand of God. 1 Peter 5, verses 6 through 7, he covered this. It says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. And when you do that, what's he going to do? Continuing reading, that he may exalt you in due time. Exalt is, he will lift you up. How many here want to be lifted up by God? How many here want to be lifted up through your circumstances, through your problems, through the things you're going through even today? You know what's amazing is you look at people that have maybe a 20-year, 25, 30, 40-year walk with God, and guess what? We still have situations. I still need to be lifted up by God. How about you? I've got things that I cannot handle. I've got things that I cannot change the course of, but I know who can. If it is his will, and I surrender myself, and I place myself under his mighty hand, and that I humble myself, he will exalt me in due time. He will lift me up in due time. What is that due time? His time, not Tim's time. His time is not my time. My time is not his time, but he will lift me up. He will exalt me in due time. And what do I do in verse 7? Casting all of the care upon him. Why do you do that? What's it finish out with? Because he cares for you. Isn't that amazing? God cares enough for you that he says, cast your cares on me because I care for you. You're not going to find that much help in the world like that, are you? Will people in your life, will people in your job, will people that you really sometimes come to depend on, can you truly cast all your cares upon them and they truly, truly, truly care for you? Sometimes when it comes to you got to cut and run, they'll be sometimes the first ones to cut and run. And you're going, wait a minute, I thought you were there for me. Don't be surprised. They probably meant well in their intentions. They probably meant well when they said it, but things happen. But we've got to put our totality of trust, our total reliance upon who? God. Working through Christ Jesus. He will guard my heart and my mind. Humble is to make low. So therefore, humble yourselves under that mighty hand of God. To humble yourselves is to make low, lower oneself. This would describe a person devoid of arrogance and self-exaltation. You got to lower yourself. Humble yourself. Can't have arrogance. You find a lot of times with people with arrogance are the ones that so, well, I did that. I did this. I was able to do that. This was accomplished because of my ability, my knowledge, or whatever the case is. We've probably all run across people like that in your careers. Have you? And maybe sometimes not career-wise, just people out there in general. To exalt is to lift up or to raise up. Another way that he spoke about that will help us in times of anxiety is to do what? Stay close to Jesus. See, so many times when we go through this life, we end up kind of straying from our head shepherd. We're having a wonderful time of lessons in the sheepdog book. Well, this is not the book. But the book that's teaching us on lass and how that is transpiring from the shepherd to the dog to the help and to the sheep. But we stray ourselves. As we are sheep, we stray from the head shepherd. And when we do that, how can you stay connected to him? If you stray away from him, how can he be there to help you? But he talked in that first video about staying close to Jesus. And the example he gave was what? Peter walking where? On the water. In Matthew 14, 28 to 31, you can turn there if you want, but it's basically the story of Peter getting out of the boat, right? And Jesus says, come. So Peter steps out. So we're looking at Matthew 14. So let's look at Matthew 14. And Peter answered him and said to him, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. And so he said, come. And when Peter had come out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Verse 30 says, though, but when Peter saw that the wind was very violent and very blowing hard, he was afraid, and he beginning to sink, he cries out, Lord, save me. What Stephen brought out in that video was this. Notice that it didn't say Jesus went to him. It just said that Jesus reached out his arm, and he grabbed his hand. His talking about that was saying that we need to stay close to Christ. We have got to stay close so that when we do cry out, he can reach out and help us. Now, you can sit there and say, well, I wonder how long his hand was, his arm, or what was this, is the material, was it the physical type thing where he was that close? And, you know, I don't know, but a lot of things happened and transpired. But I can take this and I can look at it saying, I know this for sure, that if I stay close to Jesus and I'm only an arm's length away from him, that when I cry out, I know that he's going to be able to just reach his hand out, and I'm going to reach for his, and he's actually reaching for mine, and he's going to hold me. He's going to sustain me. He's going to lift me up. Amen? And that's for us today. Stay close. It talks about we've got to stay close to help you get away from this anxiety and things. We've got to get to the point of being close to him. It talked about stay in his grip, you know? So quickly, one of the thoughts or a couple that comes out of that first session was this. Anxiety in one's life could be because of lack of obedience. You know, we get busy in the things of the world. We get busy in the things of life in general. We lose our focus of him. We get so wrapped up into all these other issues. And then all of a sudden we have issues that come up and we get wrapped up into those. And they have a way of just snowballing. And as they snowball, it just gets to be more and more, more and more. I tell you what, with all this rain that we've had the last few weeks and months are out, you go out into some areas in the fields where it's mud, and you know, you start walking, you've got clean shoes on, and you're walking, and pretty soon you got some mud, and a little bit more, you got more mud, and by the time you get from here to there, you look at your feet, and what has happened? All this mud has just caked on around your shoe. And you're wondering why it's getting heavier to walk. It's like, why are my feet so heavy? And you look down and you go, oh my gosh, I got a foot of mud. And it just keeps attaching itself, and it keeps attaching itself. And it's like the things of life today. When we go through these things, a little bit gets attached to our shoes, okay? And we don't realize, well, you better kick it off. You better stop on that path that's full of mud that's going to bog you down. You better get back on the right path where Christ is at and let that mud be kicked off and lighten that load. But we continue on. For some reason, we just go. We just do our thing, and we lack that obedience and listening and following of him, and we get ourselves into situations that we wish we hadn't. But I'm here to report that it's a good thing too, but he loves you. And all you have to do is what? Go back to him. Just say, okay, Lord, help me. I'm off course. I've got to get back to you. I've got to be obedient. I've got to go back to what you wanted me to do. Obedience could be because of, you know, the lack of why we run with anxiousness and anxieties in our lives. And one thing is, anxiety is the fruit. And then the pride is the root. Anxiety is the fruit. Pride is the root. These are all in notes that you guys had that we handed out. I'm not telling you anything new today, other than I want you to refocus and keep this somewhat before you about anxiety and when anxiety attacks and there's nothing to see. So that's what we want to go to next really quick here while we got some time left is, you know, there's nothing to see here. Many times when we go through life and we got struggles and situations, we think we see things out there. And his beginning of the video, at first when I started listening to it and he's talking about Plato and all that, I'm thinking, well, this is going to be above my head. Where are we going here? But he gave just a short example of that, gave a short example of this new app of Periscope. Remember that, Periscope? What do you see? What are you seeing? And he tied those together about the cave story and the chains and what Plato had said about if, you know, if men were chained and they had their backs to the entrance to the cave and all they saw was the back and the fire and the light and all just cast shadows back there and they heard voices from the outside but they thought it was coming from the shadows on that wall that were really not there. There's nothing to see here. Echoes and, what was it? Shadows and echoes. Shadows and echoes. Remember that crime drama or what wasn't it? Like, only the shadow knows. But we go through life, and a lot of things, or some of the things maybe that we deal with and struggle with, it's that shadows and echoes. It's really not there. It's what our mind has perceived to be there because we've allowed our mind to not be fixated upon back when we talked about where what? The peace of God which surpasses all will guard your heart and minds through Christ Jesus. We're not being guarded by Christ Jesus, so our mind begins to think of things. Our mind begins to play tricks. Anybody had their mind play tricks on you? You know, as growing up and as kids and you go through things and, you know, whatever, traumas at night and whatnot. But it's amazing as you grow up, and even now as adults, if you think about something long enough in the darkness of the night and you hear noises, your mind begins to fathom that it's not just the, I remember growing up and then first few times in the winter and especially throughout the winter, but after the furnace would kick off, all of a sudden you'd hear the pipes and stuff, you know, popping and stuff because of the temperature change. And it's like you'd swear somebody's breaking in your house. I've been out here at the church over all these years, and when we get through the time of the season, especially going into spring, when it gets warmer out and all the stuff on the roof starts expanding again, I would think there'd be people in here making all kinds of noises. It'd be right above my head. It's and I'm sure you guys have heard it, but it has popped enough to where it'll rattle the fluorescent tube lights on the ceiling. It's like, whoo! Let me tell you, the first few times that happened, I came out of the office going, who's here? Who's here? You know? And then the longer I went and the more I got accustomed to it, I thought, that's just the dynamics of something contracting and constricting and contracting. It's just the things that happen. But your mind can begin to play things and play it off to where then you start hearing things that are not really there. It amplifies things. So it's those echoes and the shadows, the things that takes place in our minds. And what Stephen was trying to do, I think, on this video is to say, you know, you've got to come out of your cave. You've got to be aware of those things, and that's not real. That's not reality. You've got to come out onto the mountain. Didn't he say something? God will speak to you in the cave, but he'll only show you or you will only see it when you go to the mountain and stand out and look. And he gave some examples of Elijah talking to a servant about going out and look for that cloud. Because in the beginning, oh, goodness. He told the servant to go look again 7 times. Elijah, I guess I should turn back to 1 Kings. Do you remember also what Stephen was saying, that he knows that the Bible is real? And these are God's words, because if this was made by man, when Elijah was on the mountaintop on chapter 18 and everything's going his way and he was right on and hearing from God, and then what, 19 comes? And then what happened in 19? He's hiding in a cave, he's running, Jezebel's after him, he's fearful, he's running to God, just kill me, God, take my life. He said, if this was a story that was written by man, they probably would have left out chapter 19 because it doesn't sound like something that you really want to be following. So I thought that was pretty cool. Because, see, God's word gives us the good and the bad and everything in it, and it's all God. In the end, in 1841, it talks about the drought is ending. Then Elijah said to Ahab, go up, eat and drink, for there is... Elijah is saying this, go up and eat and drink, for there is the what? Sound of abundance of rain. The sound. Now we know what rain sounds like when it's really abundant. We've had a lot of it, haven't we? And you can hear it hitting the roof. You can hear it doing whatever, going down the gutter, whatever. I'm sure outside in a cave or outside or wherever they're at, you know, that they would see these things and hear these things. But Elijah is already just saying, there's a sound of an abundance. There is the sound of an abundance of rain. And so Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up onto the top of Carmel, and then he bowed down onto the ground, and he put his face between his knees, and he said to his servant in verse 43, go up now, look toward the sea. Servant goes up, and he looks. There's nothing there. Seven times he says to go again. Then it came to pass in verse 44, that seventh time that he said, there is a cloud as small as a man's hand rising out of the sea. So he said, go up and say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down before the rain stops you. Here again, there's a cloud out way out there the size of the fist of a man. I've seen small clouds, and I wouldn't say there's going to be an abundance of rain coming out of them. But Elijah said there's a sound of abundance of rain coming. Go look, go look, go look, go look. I want to look at a footnote here in my Bible. Okay, a footnote here in 1 Kings 18, 41 to 45 says this. Much can be learned about the prayer from observing Elijah. First, even though we have a promise for God's provision, we are not to stop praying for its fulfillment. Second, we see one of the postures of prayer as we read that he bowed down on the ground and he put his face between his knees. Third, we learn that the importance of persistence in prayer as we read that Elijah prayed seven times. And fourth, we understand the necessity of faith as we pray by realizing that Elijah believed his prayer was answered before the answer actually had come. When we pray, do we pray with that belief? When we pray for something that has not materialized at this point in time, we're praying for a need that needs to come. Are we believing that it's come? Are we believing that it's there? Are we saying, thank you, Lord? Are we praising God for it? You will hear something from God before you see it. A sign of it. Has God spoke to you about something and you've not seen it? I could probably say, it'd be nice to say, yeah, about every other month something like that has happened. But probably in my time with God and my closeness with him, and now 20 plus 25 years, I would say maybe three or four times that I could actually say he has said something that I've sensed in the spirit that wasn't there at the time. And I even had the time at one time saying, and I've shared this before, sitting back in the back row, that I said, Lord, I don't see how this is going to come about because of what I see here now. I was looking at it at that time frame, at that snapshot of that day, of that time, of that year, of that cent, whatever it is. That's what I was looking at in the natural. Lord, that ain't going to happen. And why did God say, just sit and watch, for it will not be like this very long? And I said, what? Okay. I didn't argue with him. I didn't say, well, you're crazy. This ain't, I'm out of here. I sat there and I just, in my spirit, said, okay, I will sit and I will trust you. And it come to pass. It came, I mean, it just knocks your socks off. But I can only say I've had maybe three or four of something like that really within the life that I've had in this short time, that I could honestly say there was a conversation of God and me, and just he was telling me, just wait, blah, 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 blah. And so I know it's real. I know that he is real. I know that he's not going to do that on every situation with me. And I really shouldn't come to expect that with every situation with me. Because now I would believe if I would do that, he would say, Tim, didn't you have doubts back in 1999 or 2005 or whatever? And I told you to wait, it will not be the same. And did it not come what I told you it would be? And I would have to say, yes, Lord, it came out just like you said it would be. And he would probably be saying, well, then why can't you trust me now? You've been with me for 10 years longer, 20 years longer, whatever the case is. You've been 15, 18 years longer walking with me, Tim. Why would I lead you astray? I would say, you won't lead me astray. Because as Stephen had quoted many times, and it came to heart to me, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts to succeed and not to fail. And when you come to me and pray to me, I will hear you, you know. And if you will listen and obey me, I will hear you. So God has given us all wonderful promises. He's given that, and I stand on that, and others maybe stand on that, but there's certain scriptures throughout the Word of God that really solidify one's walk, and that's solidified 29:11 through 15. And because of that, it's one of those things that God is a God of success, but Tim's got to be a person or a man of a prayer and listening and obey him when he speaks to me. Remember, sometimes anxiety comes about because of our lack of obedience. Anxiousness comes about because of our lack of, and I could have been anxious for the last, it's been now 20 years, just a little over that, when all this happened. I was 39-ish, 40-ish. Now I'm 62. I know, I look like I'm 75, but you begin to look back at those times of God's life with you and how he's talked to you, and that's all he wants. He just wants that relationship with you. He doesn't want you to think that you've got to have an altar experience in every major thing of your life, you know, maybe the first few times, maybe, I don't know. But he just wants that relationship to where, you know, Tim, there's nothing to see here, you know. Well, I was telling him that. Well, Lord, from what I see, I don't see this working. But again, wait and see. But we've got to get to that point. He talked about also that we will need to have persistence if we are to see something from God's perspective. See, don't we want to go, Lord, let me see what you see. Lord, let me see with your vision of what you're going to do. And that's all well and good, isn't it? Wouldn't it be great to see what exactly God sees? I mean, wow. But in Romans 5:3, it says, and not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, our endurance. Persistence is to exist especially past a usual or expected normal time. You know, to exist past the usual. So you've got to persist. Well, this should have happened by now, God. God would say, you need to persist. You need to be persistent. You've got to wait. Wait upon the Lord. Many times in my walk with him into the ministry, I've had to wait and just sit and watch and follow and move. When he said move, you do. When he says this is opening up to you, do you willingly jump into it, or do you hold one foot out? You got to jump in with both feet, guys. You can't hold one out and put one in. But he'll say, you've got to be persistent. And yeah, tribulations and trials and all these things, it's producing perseverance. It produces endurance. And to walk this race or to run this race and to stay consistent with God, it's going to take what? Endurance. It's not just a 2 years run. It's not just 5 years of your life. It's when you receive Christ Jesus and you say, I'm all yours. Jesus is my Lord and Savior. Come fill me now, Lord. I want to serve you. There's a starting point of a new birth in that person's birth date. And from then on out, it's like it's all for God. It's all for the kingdom. It's all for what he's going to instruct and what he's going to direct. But to do those things, I've got to have endurance. I've got to be persistent. Perseverance is this: continued effort to do or to achieve something despite difficulties, despite failure, despite opposition. Now I'm going to tell you, when you start doing things for God, when God has you on his path, when he's got a trajectory of where he's wanting to send you, there's going to be opposition, there's going to be problems, there's going to be situations that come up that are going to be difficult. You're going to think of it as failure. There's going to be times that, yes, maybe you do fail, but guess what? He will pick you up, dust you off, put you back on that path, and say, now go, continue. Persevere. Be persistent. Continued effort to do or to achieve something despite the difficulties. God never promised you that it was going to be easy being a child of his, did he? No. Jesus said, you'll have trials and tribulations, but I'll be there. We'll make it through it. You'll come through it. Oh, you may just feel like you're coming through it by the skin of your teeth, but you'll come through it. So life in serving God is not a pleasure cruise. Remember, years back, one of the ladies that used to come here gave a message one time. Was like, you know, we're not on a sightseeing cruise. We're not on, you know, the Norwegian whatever, you know, we're not on the Disney cruise. This is like you're on a battleship. And as we go through these waters of life, you've got to be ready to send a volley out to take care of a situation. Remember what he had said in the early part of the first video about a lion, like a roaring lion? He gives you a warning. Whenever the devil is going to come up and try to do something in your life, if you paid attention enough and be attuned to God, but also be sensitive by the Holy Spirit, you will sense things to be prepared for. Because what does a lion do? It roars. What does a roar do? It warns you. It'd be interesting if he was out there trying to really sneak up on you, but, you know, now he talks about all kinds of things about the thief comes, but in the night to break in and things, and they're under darkness and things. So in his word, he's trying to tell us, be alert. Be proactive. Be watchful. We've got to do things on our part. It's not all on God. It's not just because we received Christ and now we can sit there and say, this life is going to be great all the way through. I don't have to watch my back. I don't have to watch my side because, you know, God says, I go before you. I'm behind you. Yes, he has protected us. But what happens if the old devil throws a volley over that? Yeah, God is big enough to stop that. But maybe that volley gets in there and it gets into here and all of a sudden you get those shadows and echoes. And your mind starts doing weird things. And you allow it to go crazy. But we've got to have perseverance. You've got to have persistence with the things of God. It talked about that problems that we encounter would develop our perseverance, which will strengthen our character, deepen our trust in God, and give us greater confidence about our future. You come through some battles in your life early on, and guess what? There's going to be another battle coming down the road at you. But what's going to happen with that battle? You're probably going to recall back whenever the time was that, oh yeah, I had a battle, and I came through it with God's help, you know? God went to war for me, and he broke through that. And we were victorious. We, not I. I can handle the battle. I can take care of my problems. I can do... No. But we came victorious, and it was only because he went before us. throughout your life, and when times have happened to you that have been some strain on your life, has it built more of a tighter or a closer relationship with you and God? Generally, it should, you know, as we've battled and as He's battled for us, that we begin to see His care for us. We've already shared about Jeremiah, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you," says the Lord. So if the Lord knows, "I know the thoughts that I think towards you," He knows me, He knows you. One of the areas to think ahead was, God will speak to you in the cave. His vision will be revealed on the mountain. When you can't sense God, that doesn't mean that He's not with you. Isn't that something? To know that He's with you no matter where you're at. He's with you when you're going through a problem. He's there to see you through a problem. He's there to be your encourager. He's there to be your strengthener. He's there to be whatever it is that He needs to be. Amen? To be there for you to handle that situation. And God has handled many, many situations. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Well, I hope just a quick review of the last couple of weeks. Next week we'll have another third video. I think it's something about the waves, I think. Brave the waves or something, I can't remember exactly. But we'll watch that next Sunday, and I'll have a handout for you to kind of help follow along and try to type out what I can, maybe some key thoughts or at least the scriptures that He goes to. And I trust you'll be here to hear that and be encouraged. Amen. To be encouraged. This is to build you up. This is to strengthen you. This is to help you in these days that lie before you. And to go out stronger than when you came in. Amen. That's what it's about. Go out stronger. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. I want to just close this in prayer and just thank you, Father, for what we're doing and what we're learning through these videos. Lord, I pray, Lord, that what we're learning is touching each one here in the special way that will help them. Father, I believe these videos and what this gentleman, Stephen, is doing is helping us, Lord, as you spoke through him. And so we just thank you for all that's taking place and all that is transpiring in our lives, and that we will be victorious, that we will see a completion to what you have for us. And we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.